Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This is the Bears Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bears Wire editor, Alyssa Barbieri.
Week one of the NFL season is upon us, and there is plenty going on with the Chicago Bears. Alyssa, what's going on, and how was your weekend?
It was a busy weekend, to say the least. I don't know if you heard the Bears announced the starting quarterback.
People seem to be talking about that. Yeah, the quarterback, people seem to be talking about that.
I mean, I think it's a big deal. You wouldn't know? No.
Oh, my God.
No, so with that, between the 53-man roster and the practice squad and you know, it's been an eventful weekend, but you know what? I'm excited because it's game week and I'm ready to get back at this.
It's game week and I want to talk about Bears Lions, but there's so many other things that we do need to get to. Let's just start right now with the big news coming out of the Bears, and that is Trubisky is the starter over Foles. We talked about that a little bit last week about what does it say for Trubisky with Foles being in town, with them paying him and giving him a chance. We heard throughout camp that I think these two were pretty even. I don't think anybody really knew what was coming. But at the end of the day, maybe it does make a little sense. Like, if you're going to throw Foles out there week one, you're almost giving up on Trubisky at that point, right? So maybe this is Matt Nagy's way of saying, look, we're going to give Trubisky one more shot at this. But what's your take on this? Is he giving Trubisky one more shot, or is this kind of like an all-in moment on Trubisky?
Well, I always thought, though, in terms of the quarterback competition, that Nick Foles is going to have to outright win it in order to be named the starter. And, you know, given what we heard, it wasn't really a surprise that Trubisky got the nod, especially, like you said, without preseason games, without those offseason reps. You know, Foles, you know, would have just been thrown to the Wolves there. But I think that the important thing that I heard from Matt Nagy when he was talking about Trubisky, Nagy and the coaching staff, they like the improvement that Trubisky has made or that they have seen. I mean, albeit in practice, but they like where his decision-making has improved. His pocket presence, where he's standing in there, his accuracy, his mechanics, his footwork. So they have seen improvement from Trubisky. And like you said, there's a greater investment in Trubisky, just him being the former number two overall pick that, you know, you deserve to see, I guess, with one more chance what he can bring. Because, I mean, let's be real, he wasn't the only issue on offense last year. I think that them overhauling the tight end room is going to be huge for him. If, you know, I think that'll definitely help him out. And I think it'll help us see what he's really got.
This is not the first time Nick Foles has lost out in a competition. It's not his first team. You know, he lost his job to Gardner Minshew over in Jacksonville, right? So this shouldn't be like the biggest shock in the world that Trubisky was named a starter. But personally, I was a little surprised when it did come down, but maybe I shouldn't have been.
It was surprising, but it also wasn't surprising given what had transpired this offseason in terms of the Bears declining Trubisky's fifth-year option, trading for Nick Foles, trading a fourth-round draft pick and giving him $21 million guaranteed. At the same time, I know Trubisky has won the job, but it doesn't feel like the quarterback competition is over. You know, Nagy said that he's not, you know, going to be, you know, looking to pull him immediately. But you do know that there's a leash there and that you feel like the leash is pretty short. And, you know, listening to Nick Foles, you know, talk in his press conference after the decision had been announced, you know, he didn't really seem too concerned. He kind of looked like a guy that was probably like, yeah, I think I might get a shot down the line here. So, I mean, Trubisky might have the job now, and he does have a favorable stretch of games here to start against. He's opening against the Lions, a team that he's very successful with, the Giants, the Falcons, the Panthers. These are very winnable games. But at the same time, I don't think that this quarterback competition is over.
Not to be outdone, right? There's other things going on with the Bears, like Allen Robinson. These tweets are about, what, his contract? He's not happy with his contract, and they're trying to negotiate that. What's going on with Allen Robinson?
Well, Robinson cleared that up by saying those tweets were, he was subtweeting somebody else. But, I mean, it says a lot that everyone assumed immediately that those tweets had to do with this extension because,
sure.
I mean, you get the sense from Robinson that he's frustrated, and he should be frustrated because if there's one player that's earned a contract extension, it's been him. He managed to thrive in this, and one of the league's worst offenses last year, and he's carried the weight for 2 years, and Robinson deserves a deal. And normally, Ryan Pace is known for giving contract extensions right before the start of the season. You know, Keen Hicks has gotten one, Eddie Goldman, offensive line, and Cody Whitehair and Charles Leno Jr. So it's kind of like, you know, everyone's been waiting up to this moment. It wasn't panic mode, until right around right now, where it's like, okay, the season's about to start. Why hasn't Robinson gotten his extension? And meanwhile, you see that Robinson's price tag keeps getting higher. You look at someone like Keenan Allen, who just signed a massive extension. So at this point, you're just waiting for Pace and Robinson's team to just have negotiations. That's been the one concern, is that there haven't been any serious negotiations up to this point, which is definitely worrisome heading into the season.
No doubt. And we got our fantasy football segment coming up from our friends over at thehuddle.com and Corey Bonini. What's the latest on the David Montgomery injury? Does he have any chance at all, Alyssa, of playing this week, or what do you think about that?
Well, Matt Nagy has declined to really discuss injuries until when he needs to put that first injury report in on Wednesday. But the last that we heard when he injured his groin a couple weeks ago, that it was going to be a 2 to 4 week injury. So there's still a possibility that Montgomery could play, even though I'm leaning towards he doesn't, just because I don't think the Bears want to rush him back and risk, you know, aggravating that injury and to where the point where it becomes more severe. So no news on Montgomery, but, you know, I would expect the Bears to really lean on Ryan Nall, who, you know, he's a fresh face to the regular season, and Cordarrelle Patterson, who was, getting reps with the running backs in camp.
What do you think? What's your leadoff take as we head into our first break here? What's your leadoff take on Bears-Lions? What's something that sticks out to you right away?
Well, the Bears have had a lot of success against them the last couple of years. They've won 4 straight games, but at the same time, the Bears haven't won a season opener since 2013. So it's kind of like, you know, what gets, you know, are the Bears going to continue their success against the Lions, or is this going to be a 7th straight season opening loss? So I'm hoping for the former.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be right back on the Bears Wire podcast.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit 'em, start 'em. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from thehuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with thehuddle.com here to talk to you about 3 fantasy options that I can't wait to play in week number 1. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew. He doesn't have a running game to speak of, and he's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep Jacksonville even remotely close in this one. Volume alone should keep him in the number 1 range for quarterbacks, but it might not be pretty in terms of turnovers. Sticking with that same matchup on the other side of things, Marlon Mack. Jacksonville has lost just about everyone of note on defense in the last year or so. This was one of the best fantasy matchups for running backs last year, and one could make an argument that this team has regressed. Mack was good for 16 and 19 fantasy points respectively in PPR last year, and he's not even a receiving type back. Jonathan Taylor will take some touches, but Mack should be able to get his too. And the Seattle-Atlanta matchup has DK Metcalf poised to be one of the top receivers of the week. He scored twice last year against them, accounting for 2 of his 7 touchdowns on the season. Seattle should be a little bit better on the back end, but rookie cornerback AJ Terrell will make his first pro appearance, and Metcalf can probably have his way with him. In week number 1, don't get too cute. Trust the guys who you drafted highly. Don't try to take too many gambles, and take chances where it's smart. Continuity probably will be the biggest factor in success entering the season.
For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out thehuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
He worked really hard to get to this point. We know that we all, in a lot of different areas, struggled in 2019. And so what I think was most impressive from the end of the season until this past weekend was to be able to see some of the growth in practice and off the field that Mitch had. He didn't worry about distractions. He didn't worry about other competition. What he did is just tried to worry about getting better as a quarterback.
I spent a lot of time this offseason doing footwork, a lot of drills in the pocket, moving around defenders, keeping my feet set, and then just finishing with balance. And that's allowed me to be more consistent and more accurate. And I just feel like I've gotten a lot better in that area.
There's Mitch Trubisky talking right there, right after his head coach, Matt Nagy. And Mitch Trubisky is going to start this week against the Detroit Lions. This is the week 1 matchup for the Bears, a 1 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Looking forward to that. And Alyssa, you said that Trubisky's had plenty of success in his career against the Lions. What do you think's made him successful in this matchup?
I think the familiarity with the opponent and seeing a lot of man coverage too in that defense. You know, looking at his last 3 games, which have all been wins, his numbers have been astounding, especially considering when you look at what, you know, Trubisky's numbers have been. But, you know, he's thrown 9 touchdowns. He threw his first interception in that last Thanksgiving game. He had 74% completion percentage. He had 100 quarterback ratings in all three of those games. So, I mean, I definitely think that confidence is going to play a big part in this too. He knows he's had success against this team. He knows that defense, even though it's going to look a little bit different this year with some of the changes the Lions made. But I think that, you know, Trubisky has a good chance to really set the tone for what he wants to accomplish this season with a game like this to start the year.
So the Lions have a decent passing attack, especially when Matt Stafford is healthy. And last year, Stafford was on pace for kind of a monster year, right? In 10 games, he had thrown for 19 touchdowns, 5 picks, 2,500 yards. That was only in 10 games when he got hurt, which shows you the kind of season he was about to have. So this Lions offense can put up some points, and especially with Kenny Golladay, right? He's probably their top weapon. He's the guy that Stafford's going to be trying to get the ball to. How did the Bears handle him? Is that Kyle Fuller?
Well, you know, you assume it's going to be Kyle Fuller, but also rookie Jalen Johnson is going to get the start at cornerback too, so he's going to have his first real test right out the gate, you know, with Golladay and Marvin Jones and, you know, even Danny Amendola. So, you know, I think it all starts up front though with that pass rush. Having Khalil Mack, pairing him with Robert Quinn, and then getting Akeem Hicks back, you know, the goal is going to be to get to Stafford to prevent him from really being able to find Golladay and his receivers downfield.
And then the Lions running game seems to be kind of up in the air, right? They don't seem to have you know, a true number one running back. Seems like it's going to be a committee approach, and the Bears have been a pretty good defense against the run, so that could be another matchup on paper, at least, that the Bears have you know, a pretty good edge.
Absolutely. And you know, there is one big factor that's gonna be missing from that Bears defense: Eddie Goldman, nose tackle. He's been a big part of the success of that run defense, but the Bears feel that they have someone in Bilal Nichols that can really rise to the challenge. But still, that the defensive line in terms of the run game, I think that they're going to find success against the Lions.
On the offensive side of the ball, we talked a little bit about Trubisky. Maybe the running backs might be shuffled a little bit. What do you think about the offense as a whole going up against the Lions this week?
I mean, this is an offense that has managed to find success against the Lions. I think that, you know, ending the third year in this offense, you know, they have more confidence in there. I think that Anthony Miller is going to be someone to watch. You know, in the last game that they played, Miller came up with two clutch third down receptions downfield of more than 30 yards that helped lead them to that win. So, you know, I think that, you know, watching those receivers, obviously Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, but also the tight ends, Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet.
Now we're going to look at the betting lines here coming up, and the Bears aren't getting much respect in this game, which is a little interesting. We're going to get into that coming up on the Bears Wire podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and Bet Slippin' Podcast, and I'm joined by Jeff Clark, my colleague at SportsbookWire.com and Bet Slippin' Podcast. And here's what you need to know about the Week 1 matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay is plus 145 on the money line, with New Orleans Saints favored at minus 176. Jeff, which side of that do you like?
I'm on the Saints. I'm on the favorites, -3.5. I'm big about their offensive continuity. Their offensive line is going to be the hold up against what should be a pretty good Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush. I'm not sold in the Buccaneers secondary right now, and how can you not be sold in the passing attack of the Saints?
Hey, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, let's go. All-star underdog team, plus 145, locking that in week one, a big upset in the NFC South. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to Bet Slippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Alyssa, I pulled up the line for this game, and the Bears are giving away 3 points, which means they are underdogs in this game in Detroit. Now, some of that might have to do with them being on the road, right, even though there will not be fans in the stands. And I think another part of that might have to do with Stafford being healthy and back at the fold. But what do you think about that number? Bears underdogs by 3 points on the road. Are you buying or selling that?
I'm selling that. I mean, I agree that the games in Detroit have been a little closer when you look at especially the last 2 years, you know, but the Bears have dominated the Lions the last couple of years. So, I mean, you have to wonder why they're underdogs, but I understand that the quarterback plays a big role in that as well.
Absolutely. The Bears did sweep the meetings last year, so it is a little surprising. After hearing you, I would have expected the Bears to be favored. So we're taking the points. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You've got me convinced. The over-under is a little bit on the lower side. It's predicted to be one of the more lower scoring games, 44.5 over under. What do you think for that? You think this is going to be a high scoring or low scoring game?
I think it's going to be a relatively, maybe like in the middle somewhere. A lot of these games have been somewhere like where the both teams are scoring within the 20s or maybe even the teens. So I'm going to kind of stick that way. I don't know if you want a game prediction, but
that's totally up to you. I mean, if any type of game prediction leaves you, you know, vulnerable to the masses, right? The Bears fans can come after you then.
They can
call you out on Twitter. For me, you know, I'm going to take the Bears, so I'm going to be on their side, but I can't promise that I'll do that throughout the season. So whether you want to like lock in picks is totally your call. I'm not going to put any.
Okay, well, I'll let you know that I have the under then.
Okay.
I have a total of 41 points scored in this game.
So there it is. Alyssa Barbieri says, take the Bears, take the points, and go under. And then you can yell at her if she makes you lose money. there's a lot going on with the Bears, Alyssa. Did we miss anything before I let you go? Did we miss anything about this Bears team going into this week one matchup?
I guess there are some surprises from the 53-man roster and the depth chart. They released their first official depth chart. I already mentioned Jalen Johnson getting the start there at right cornerback. Also, Tashawn Gibson is going to be getting the start at strong safety opposite Eddie Jackson. So, you know, watching those two, back there is going to be interesting to watch.
All right. She's Alyssa Barbieri, the editor of the Bears Wire website. I'm Ryan O'Leary. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we'll get to break down an actual football game. That's going to be a lot of fun. Alyssa, enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the Bears Wire podcast.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.